This Tuesday, we begin 2019. And really, if it weren't for the calendar, we probably wouldn't notice a whole lot of anything different from Monday, December 31st, and Tuesday, January 1st. But the calendar we have is how we mark off the days and the seasons. So, what happened in 2018? Well, back in April, we had our annual family potluck and candy egg hunt, and we saw a lot of neighborhood families come with their children, some to the assembly, most to the potluck and the egg hunt. Later on in the month, we started something new that we might do next year. You need to come later today and help us work it out. But we did a date night comedy for couples event that drew almost 20 new people from outside of our immediate fellowship to come together and enjoy a meal together and laugh at Christian comedian John Branham. And then in May, we gathered over at the Orangevale Park, and that's on Pecan and Oak, for a family picnic and barbecue. Lots of fun. In June, we marched and rode motorcycles in Orangevale's annual Powwow Days Parade with a float that told all about our VBS that was coming up in July. And of course, speaking of that VBS, in July, our VBS was based upon the Gospel of Luke. A little bit of archaeology involved. It was called Excavate, and connected also to the Beatitudes. Later on in October, we held our second annual Trunk or Treat, and it turned out a lot greater results than the year before. More people came through. More participants decorated their vehicles. It was really good. And just last month, we helped out 12 area families with Thanksgiving baskets. And a few weeks ago, we visited members of the Lord's Church, encouraging and some might say frightening them with our Christmas carol singing. But it was a good time. Anyway, of course, throughout the year, Moms or Us met, our Wednesday and Thursday Bible classes met. Studies with World Bible School Online happened. Parents Night Out was scheduled a couple of times this year, along with movie and game nights. Got some coming up. Of course, game night tomorrow night. And back in May, the Lemons had us over for a Memorial Day barbecue. That was good. Plus, we also helped out with the youth lock-in at our building hosted by the Lincoln Church, in which Trevor broke down and cried pathetically in the middle of the night. Anyway, earlier this year, we celebrated the life of our sister Ruth Hill at services in January. Also, our sister Charlene Flores passed away, and so did our brother Don Daves in April. On a more upbeat note, back in June, Reva Morrow was baptized into Christ, and Scott and Cindy placed membership with us. And later on in October, Jay Denny was also baptized into Christ. And if I missed any deaths or rebirths within our congregation, please let me know either on a welcome card or you can message me. One other thing I wanted to make a note of, and that is that we finally got the roof fixed above this auditorium and the library. And that's a really great blessing. We also happened to get a new heating and air conditioning unit put in the preschool room and back thanks to a couple of donations independently by members. That's really good stuff in and around the building. Now, I think it's important to reflect and review the kinds of things that we've done throughout the year so that we can either repent of them, that is to turn away from them and try something else, or renew them, you know, and do them again in 2019. Of course, when it comes to us as individuals, the idea of reflecting, reviewing, and repenting and renewing isn't necessarily about stopping or continuing things as much as it's about changing our lives to be in more in line with Jesus' life. And really, you could say the same about the church too. The church has to continually do these type of things, so that way if we're not doing things according to God's word, then we need to turn around and do it like God's word, you see. And of course, this is a 100% biblical thing to do. For example, the prophet Jeremiah from Lamentations chapter 3 and verses 40 and 41, where Jeremiah writes, "Let us examine our ways and test them, and let us return to the Lord. Let us lift up our hearts and our hands to God in heaven." And so it's really important to examine our ways, to test them. and if needed to repent and return to the Lord. And in a similar way, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul encouraged the Corinthian believers to examine themselves when it came time to sharing in the Lord's Supper, saying that a man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks in judgment on himself. And so we must never forget the body of Christ, or really the body of believers, in context in what we do, especially in partaking of the Lord's Supper. Later on, Paul talked to the Galatians, wrote them a letter, and told the Galatians to examine their own individual work in the Lord, over in chapter 6 and verse 4, telling them that each one should test his own actions. Then he can take pride in himself without comparing himself to somebody else. And just one other verse for us to think about as we reflect, review, repent, and renew. And that's actually the verse that's our main text for this morning. It's found over in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, where we are encouraged to examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? Now, think about what Paul just challenged the Corinthians to do. He challenged them to self-examination. And in the context, the Greek is written in the present tense for both of the verbs there, test and examine, meaning that such an examination wasn't meant to be an annual activity, but instead it was meant to be a continuous one, a moment-by-moment one. And so in rising to the same self-examination challenge, we need to consider some important questions. Questions like, why should we examine ourselves? And by what standard should we examine ourselves? And finally, what sort of questions should we be asking about ourselves? Okay, so first question, why examine ourselves? Well, we should examine ourselves in order to, first of all, determine if we're in the faith, just like our text says, right? Again, back in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5, Paul challenges those at Corinth, the ones actually who were opposing him as an apostle, to examine, to pirazzo themselves, to test, to dokimazzo themselves. Now, those two Greek words, the first one, pirazzo, means to try or to test one's faith, virtue, or character. And the Greek dokimazo means to examine, to prove, to scrutinize, to see whether something, or in this case someone, is genuine or not. And so Paul emphatically writes here that you yourselves need to test and examine whether or not you yourself are in the faith. In other words, if you yourself are being a faithful Christian. Of course, this implies that some of the people were not faithful Christians. They were not doing things indicative of being a faithful Christian, meaning that there is the real and ever-present danger of someone drifting away from the faith. After all, it is possible to drift away if we neglect our salvation, just like the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 2 and verse 1. Where he says we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard so that we do not drift away. Drifting away is possible, you see. And over in chapter 3 and verses 12 through 14, again, the writer of Hebrews also notes that it is possible to develop an evil heart of unbelief, encouraging his readers to see to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. You can turn away from the living God once you've become a Christian. You can leave the faith. One of the solutions, he says, right there in verse 13 and 14, is encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. In other words, it is possible, therefore, to know our standing before God, to know whether or not you are saved. And it's so important to test ourselves and to encourage one another in order to remain faithful and to not fall away. And this means that, again, we can know if we are saved or not. And we can know because of God's word. Just like the Apostle John writes in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13, saying, I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And so we should examine ourselves in order to determine the truth of ourselves. And that's because, like Adam and Eve, like Cain, like King Saul, like Judas Iscariot, like so many, we can easily fall into the trap of self-deception. Take a look at what James says over in James chapter 1 and verses 22 through 25. There James writes this. He says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Now, unless you've got some sort of cognitive illness, you should be able to look into the mirror and remember what you look like. Well, the same thing is true, James says, when we look into God's word. If we look at it, you know, if we know what it says, and if we know the good that we ought to do, but don't do it, then we deceive ourselves, right? And we sin. And the way that we overcome that, of course, is by regular, honest self-examination so that we can determine the truth of ourselves and determine if Jesus Christ is in us. Think again about the Corinthians back in chapter 13 and verse 5 of 2 Corinthians. There, Paul challenged them to consider whether Jesus Christ was in them or not. Now, in them? What does he mean by that? Well, remember that Jesus promised the disciples back in John chapter 14 and verse 23 that if anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. And so if we love Christ, then we will obey Christ, and then he will dwell with us, okay? And it all happens when we put Christ on in baptism. Again, Galatians chapter 3 and verses 26 and 27, where Paul writes, you're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who are baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. And while we might wonder, well, just how in the world does he dwell within us? Well, that's not the point of the text, and therefore not the point of the test. The test is to know that he can, and therefore we can know whether he does or not. And that's why we need to examine ourselves, so that we can determine if we pass the test. You see, according to the text, it's a given that Christ is in us unless we fail the test. So just what does failed mean? Does it mean just getting an F? Is it a D minus? Is it a C minus? What's a pass-fail grade here, right? Well, looking at other translations like the King James and the New King James, they translate the Greek adokimos as reprobates and disqualified. I think I like disqualified better than reprobate. But anyway, and in looking at the lexicon, we see that this Greek word adokimos means disapproved, disqualified, or counterfeit, being phony, being a plastic Christian, you know, a fake Christian, whatever. The idea in the Greek is that is one of metal that was tried and then found impure, all right? And so the test is whether or not you are in the faith or whether or not Christ is in you. And we each take this test, of course, by self-examination. Remember, we are to test ourselves, to examine ourselves. And you notice I might be stressing ourselves, okay? This is about self-examination, not saying, hey, I'm not as bad as them. No, test yourself. Don't compare yourself, okay? Okay, so now that we know we're supposed to do that, you know, just how should we test ourselves then? In other words, by what standard do we test ourselves? How should we examine ourselves? Well, Again, we can't judge the quality of our spiritual condition based upon ourselves. You know, what I mean is you aren't good or bad based upon your own thinking of what good or bad is. Well, I'm better than yesterday. I'm not as bad as yesterday. Well, this is what good, you know, we have to do and judge that based upon what God says is good or bad. That's how we test ourselves. Take, for example, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 18. There we're told, for it is not the one who commends himself who is approved, but the one whom the Lord commends. You know, and that's because, again, even though we might think that we're right, the only way that we can know for sure is by looking at what God says. Proverbs 14:12 reminds us that there is a way that seems right to man, but in the end, it leads to death. Again, all that seeming and thinking isn't necessarily right at all. We have to see what God's word says. Think about it. Before Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he thought that persecuting Christians was pleasing to God. Just look at what he said in Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 9. When he was speaking to King Agrippa, he said, I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. He thought he was doing right. There are a lot of people that think that what they do is right by God, but it's not until you go check the source. All right? Sadly, there's going to be a lot of people at the judgment who thought that they were pleasing God during their lifetime, but find that they weren't. Matthew 7, 21 through 23. And since that's the case, if we want to be able to examine ourselves, we need a standard that's outside of ourselves in order to do that. And again, even though we might think highly of others and want to maybe try to compare ourselves with others, we can't compare ourselves with others or trust what they think is right either. It's like, well, I did that because so-and-so did that and they're a Christian. Well, that, you know, that's not the right way to do it, you know. You know, that's because people's opinions and their think-sos are swayed by the approval of others, just like the rulers in John chapter 12 and verses 42 and 43, where we read that, yet at the same time, many, even among the leaders, believed in him, in Jesus. You might remember it's quite, you know, a controversial thing to be among the Jewish leadership and believe that Jesus is the Messiah in the Gospels. That's something you didn't do, right? It says, but because of the Pharisees, they would not confess their faith for fear that they would be put out of the synagogue. For they love praise from men more than praise from God. Just look at the discussions we're having in our world today, in our country. Oh, you know, you can't do that because that's not right. Well, who says it's not right? Well, you know, everybody says that it's not right. That's not what's right, okay? You know, we need to have a standard by which to determine it. You see, people's understanding of what's right and wrong is so often swayed by the opinions of others rather than based upon the truth of God's word. And that's why we must test ourselves by the standard of God's word and God's word alone, because again, it is the Lord who commends. It is the Lord who makes one approved. It is the Lord who is the ultimate judge, not your neighbor. Jesus said it this way down further in John chapter 12, this time in verse 48. He said, there is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. That very word which I spoke, that again, that Jesus spoke, will condemn him at the last day. In other words, you either believe in Jesus or you don't. And not believing means that, well, you're not approved. Let's just put it that way. Remember 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. All scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And that's just not to point to somebody else, but to reflect upon ourselves, you see, so that the man of God or woman of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. We don't study the scriptures just to say, sorry, buddy, you didn't do that right. You study the scriptures to say, hey, I need to get my act together. And so if we really want to examine ourselves and know if we are in the faith, the way that we can do that is not by our feelings or what others might say, but only by looking at the Word of God. Okay. So, in looking at the Word of God, what kinds of questions should we be asking ourselves? Well, there's a lot, really, you know, but I have a couple to suggest for self-reflection. And the first comes from our main text itself in 2 Corinthians 13:5. Just simply ask yourself, am I in the faith with Christ in me? You know, am I in the faith with Christ in me? And again, you can know this if you are baptized into Christ and if you remain faithful in loving him by obeying him. And that's really a lot in one sentence, one compound sentence, you know. But that leads us to the next question that we have to ask ourselves, and is, do I obey his commands? You know, do I obey his commands? Over in John 14, 21, Jesus says that whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him. You know, if you love me, you will obey my commands. Quite simple. And just how can you know what God's commands are? Well, you know, you can ask yourself this question. Do I abide in the Word? Do I abide in the Word? In other words, have you been regularly reading and studying and meditating upon God's Word? And I don't mean just Sundays or Wednesday, but you need to take some time outside of that. You know, reflect upon things in your own sort of world and see what the Scripture has to say to you, because that's the only way that you're really going to know what God wants you to do in order for you to obey him. Okay. Of course, the summary of all his commands is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and to love your neighbor as yourself, Luke 10:27. And that's a pretty simple way to remember it all, right? That's because, again, obeying God is showing that we love God. It's loving God. You want to love God, obey what he says. You want to obey God, it shows that you love him, you see? But again, that leads us to our next question. Do I love others like Christ loved me? You know? And that's a really heavy, serious reflection that we often do, actually, especially around the holiday season. We tend to reflect upon that. But again, the first part of that, though, we have to ask ourselves is just, how did Christ love me? Well, ultimately, he gave his all for me by dying for me, right? And so are we willing to give our all for others? Well, that leads us to the next question. Along with that, do I bear fruit? In other words, do you show the fruit of the Spirit in your life? And again, we're talking about fruit like love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Yeah, that's 9. Galatians 5:22-23. Just one more thing to think about. And that is, do you have a zeal for good works? Titus 2:14 says that we are to be eager to do what's good, to be eager, to be zealous, to be ready to go out and get them. You know, remember what James wrote again back in chapter 2 and verse 17, that faith by itself, if it's not accompanied by action, is dead. They go hand in hand. Got to be ready to do, right? Got to be ready to do. And by way of general disclaimer again, you know, there are other kinds of questions that you can reflect and review upon. And we do that when we study the text and meditate it upon ourselves. We look at it and we review and we reflect and we repent if necessary and renew, right? But again, I believe that these are the core questions that we need to ask ourselves that will tell us whether we are in the faith or not. Of course, if someone's not in the faith, then the first thing they need to do is to repent, right? And to be renewed, to be spiritually renewed. And God's word tells us that you do that simply by believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And upon your belief in him, you turn to him in repentance. You turn from what you were doing and you turn to God, you see. You turn to Christ. You confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then you make the commitment to him by being immersed in the watery grave for the forgiveness of your sins. And then when you rise up out of the water, you continue to live your life for him. You're renewed, you see. You're forgiven. And you keep walking until Jesus comes again, or you go to be with him. And for those of us who are already Christians, well, again, it's important to reflect and review regularly, moment by moment, really, so that we can repent and therefore be renewed. You know, if you think about something, oh, I don't know if I did that right. We'll see what God's word has to say, right? And then fix it, you know, fix it between you and God. And if needed, between you and your brothers and sisters in Christ. And so today, if there's anyone here who needs to come forward and give their lives to Christ, or if there's some other need that we might be able to help out with, as always, you're encouraged to come forward as together we stand and sing.